Now, I was going to talk about on Ascension Thursday. I was able to drive to Boston and then to here in the new car. Thanks be to God. I on the way to Boston, I picked up a man in Providence who is an Australian man who's a scholar and a gentleman, and he's a good Catholic, wanted to be a priest. His story is on a disc over there. We're talking about a man, David Murray, who has produced a number of books and booklets. This book he's just produced is going to be launched this week by Bishop Danilak in Canada. He's a very conservative bishop who's given his imprimatur to all the English writings of Maria Valtorta. Have any of you heard of Maria Valtorta?
Yes.
Yes, wonderful.
There's a 5-volume set over there which is sold. All right. Now, the worst thing about these writings is the cover on that set there.
It
looks very modern. The title is going to be changed when the next English version comes out, which is soon, which will be called, as Maria Valtorta wanted it to be called, The Gospel as It Was Revealed to Me. Because, as far as she's concerned, it's just the Gospel fleshed out, re-revealed in 652 special visions she was given to flesh out and explain the Gospel. Now, our Lord tried this with Maria of Agreda back in the 1500s. He tried it again with Anna Catherine Emmerich, now blessed. And the results have been very imperfect. There's been Agreda burned all her volumes after her confessor told her this is no good, so she burnt them. 10 years later she wrote it all out again from memory with the help of a lot of other spiritual authors, and a lot of people find her writings very helpful. That's fine, but it's not what our Lord wanted. He tried again with Emmerich, and she wrote many thousands of pages, but she didn't write it directly. She dictated it to Brentano, the poet, who left out a lot of things and put a lot of his own ideas and somewhat distorted some of it. So again, these writings are approved and they help some people, fine. Mel Gibson used some of her visions in his movie The Passion. Our Lord tried again in the 1940s, over 3 years during the war and after the war, and this time it was as he wanted. And there's no doubt that what the result of this is phenomenal. I'll tell you about it. When I first heard about it, it was Bishop, now then Father Williamson at the seminary. He explained that this mystic was introduced to him in his seminary days by the first spiritual director of our mother house, which is Icon, Switzerland, the late Father Barriel, who left his order that he was head of, an order dedicated to giving the 5-day retreats of St. Ignatius. Father Barriel used to recommend people read The Poem of the Man God, as it's now called in English, and the writings of Alphonsus Rodriguez, Practice of Perfection of the Christian Virtues, which is another great work. It's just been republished in English. When Father Barriel came to Icon under the eye of Archbishop Lefebvre, to all the seminarians he constantly quoted from and promoted these writings of Maria Valtorta. Bishop Williamson was using them on his retreats and in scripture classes as well in seminary. Before it came out in English in 86, Father Williamson then quoted an extract from it on the Christmas Mystery in December of 85. And in 86, January, he wrote explaining about it because so many people wanted more and wanted to know more about it. So, in 86, first volume came out in English, and I was in charge of the bookstore, and he asked me to sell it, and I started selling it. The Angela started selling it, and then problems occurred. I couldn't read it, first of all. I started reading it, didn't like it. It's too descriptive, too sentimental, and thought, well, what's going on? I put it down. Then what happened, Cardinal Ratzinger was asked by Cardinal Siri, what do you think of this new work come out in English? He looked back on his files and saw that on the Index of Forbidden Books, these were placed back in 1959. And he said to the Cardinal Siri, well, the index no longer has legal value, it was abolished in 66, but it has moral value, so if it was on the index, you shouldn't read it. To this day, that letter from Cardinal Ratzinger is promoted by EWTN, a number of conservatives, to say, well, even some traditional priests, we shouldn't read these books because it was on the index. two things I don't know about that. Number one, before it was put on the index, under John the 23rd, Pope Pius the 12th commanded the three priests who were in charge of her writings to publish them as it is, uncut. He was reading it in 47 and 48, and in February 48 he commanded these three priests to publish it. They did. And whoever was enemies of Valtorta in the Vatican waited till Pius the 12th died to get it, the signature of John the 23rd on the decree of condemnation. But in that decree of condemnation they could find no errors in the writings, not one error against faith or morals. The kind of errors they could come up with are screwdriver. St. Joseph uses a screwdriver. Screwdrivers weren't invented back then. These sorts of errors, which is nonsense. Nonsense. There was a Vatican newspaper report that made it look like it was, the headline, a badly fictionalized life of Jesus, put on the index. Badly fictionalized. Is that an error against faith or morals? No, nothing. And they made it look like there was an error concerning the original sin, as if it involved sensuality instead of pride. Well, no, the description about original sin involves pride and then consequently sensuality. And one scholar pointed out nine fathers and saints of the church who agreed with Valtorta's depiction of the original sin. Now, 2 years after that decree, they put out another Italian edition with lots of footnotes, took it to the Holy Office, and the commissioner said to them, well, publish it. You can publish this volume, no problem. And it started spreading and spreading and spreading in different languages. Now, many, many languages. Seven bishops have given their imprimatur. And it spread far and wide. Even St. Padre Pio recommended to one of his penitents to read these works and prophesied it will get to spread throughout the world. So, before and after that decree of the Holy Office, it has been spread even with Vatican approval, no question of that. It's been attacked though severely. Even in 1986 there was a religious brother who was traditional. He did a retreat at Richfield. He lives in California, and he's been sent by his doctor to some psychiatric care. What he did is took extracts from the first volume and then the second and the third out of context and made it look really bad. The worst objection he made is that Jesus is presented in these works as a homosexual, which is insane. Mm. When you read the extracts he takes in their context, you see it's perfectly, perfectly proper and fitting. Everything. Moreover, for instance, if you look in chapter 7 of St. Luke, you see our Lord condemning the Pharisee, Simon, for not giving him the customary kiss. Men kissing each other is perfectly normal in these cultures and in that. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with that. And the word caress can mean a pat on the head or, you know, or some sort of friendly embrace. It doesn't mean what this brother was suggesting. But he sent his critique, getting thicker and thicker as the volumes came out until 1990, to the Angelus Press, which then stopped selling it and apologised for it, to other traditional organisations that then stopped selling it and even apologised for selling it. So some priests, even of our society, have actually condemned these from the pulpit and had their people burning them. Father Lemay sadly wrote in the Angelus in 91, these books should be burned. Father Lemay's opinion is opposed currently by Bishop Williamson. Last November in Boston, Bishop Williamson said on this topic, if I were the father of a family, I would throw out the television and read to my children a chapter a day of these writings. All five volumes, 4,000 pages. When I finish, I'd start again. The five volumes I've read over four times completely, thoroughly. I've read all her other works that are available in English, and this man, David Murray, has summarised a number of them, which are over there on tape or in booklets, as well as made indexes. He's cross-referenced over 7,000 biblical passages to this main work, and it sheds light on the scriptures like you wouldn't believe. 36 priests last month were with Bishop Williamson, and he said when there's a renewal in the church through scripture scholarship, this author will be one of the main sources of renewal of sacred scripture. Maria Valtorta. Hardly known. She's unknown. Some of you have heard negative, some of you have read little bits of it. I'm only telling you about it because of David Murray, who left me these books and things here. I actually spent $1,000 on that stuff, because to relieve him of the burden and to make booklets available. I explain it when on retreat, because there's so much confusion about it that I don't mention it from the pulpit unless I can explain it to people. And because there's some opposition from, a lot of opposition from the liberals and modernists, and some from traditionalists, definitely misguided traditionalists. I'm going to read you, for instance, an extract. I have one little example here, extracts about priests. One of the main seven reasons our Lord revealed this was to help priests in their ministry, to have the ammunition they need to counteract modernism. In fact, his very first reason to give Maria Valtorta this work was to help my holy vicar, Pius X, in his work against modernism. Modernism undermines faith in the scriptures as the word of God, and the Catholic doctrine taken from the scriptures, and the original revelation that 1950 was defined the Assumption of Our Lady. It's beautifully described in here, in these writings of Valtorta, her assumption. But there's an example in here where our Lord is talking to a young boy who was an orphan, and he allowed St. Peter to adopt this orphan. Peter's wife was sterile, they had no children. So this young boy, who became one of the first priests eventually, our Lord is telling him, talking to him. So sometimes, even just the conversations, there are tremendous pearls of wisdom in it. Sometimes the gospel scenes will be fleshed out in many, many pages. I was telling you I couldn't stand reading it at first, and then Bishop Williamson asked me, "Oh, keep trying." By the end of the first volume, I said to him, "Father Williamson, this is like being in the first seminary."
I was just going to ask you why.
It puts you in the picture. It was an obstacle getting... I used to then skim over some of the descriptions because it's too descriptive. But then you see that these descriptions are precisely what St. Ignatius teaches you to do when you make a meditation. Put yourself in the picture.
Very hard.
Look at
do.
The details. Get rid of the distractions. And in fact, once you realize that people who are accustomed to television or novels, they need these lengthy descriptions. But I at first skimmed over a lot of them and read the meat of it. But here's an example of a conversation. This young boy, Margin, says, "My Lord, I was just wondering whether God is on the lips and in the hearts of his priests at present," the priests of the Old Testament, "and I was terrorized at the thought that future priests may be like them. I concluded, saying many priests are so nasty and greedy, so arid, that," and Jesus says, "do not judge, but remember your sensation of disgust. Bear it in mind in the future, and with all your strength avoid being like those who disgust you, and ensure that those under your direction are not like them either. Make the evil you see be useful for a good purpose. Every action and piece of knowledge must be changed into good through righteous judgment and will." And the boy continues, "O Lord, you do not deny that the priests at present are faulty. You tell me not to judge, but you judge, and you can do so, and you judge with justice. Now listen, Lord, to my question. When priests of the present speak of God and of religion, we know what the majority of them are like, but I'm referring to the worst of them. Are we to listen to them as being truthful?" "Yes, my son, always, out of respect for their mission. When they perform actions pertaining to their ministry, they are no longer Annas, a man, or Sadoc, a man, and so forth. They are the priest. Always separate poor humanity from ministry. But even if they act so badly, God will provide. And then listen, Margium, there is no man entirely good or entirely wicked. And no one is so entirely good as to be entitled to judge his brothers as being completely wicked. We must bear in mind our own faults and set them against them, the good qualities of those we want to judge. We shall then have the right measure for a charitable judgment. I have not yet found a man completely wicked." "Not even Doris, Lord?" "Not even him." We know about Doris from previous chapters, a very, very wicked Pharisee. "Not even him, because he's an honest husband and a loving father." "Not even Doris's father, who was even worse." "He too was an honest husband and a loving father. But he was nothing but that." "He was nothing but that. But in that respect, he was not wicked. So he is not totally wicked." "Is not Judas wicked either?" "No. But he's not good." "He is not totally good, as he is not totally wicked. Are you not convinced of what I'm saying?" "I'm convinced that you are totally good, and you are completely devoid of wickedness." "Yes, I'm persuaded that you are so. so much so that you never accuse anyone. My dear son, do you not know, son, that at times a word of praise and encouragement is of more avail than many reproaches? Do you not know that out of 100 very bad cases considered as relatively good, at least half become really good, because after being helped by my word, they are assisted also by very kind people who would otherwise shun men who are pointed out as being very wicked? Souls are to be supported, not depressed. That's that one little extract explaining how priests are to act and people are to judge them. Little example of the correctives that are given to common mentalities among Catholics. Lots of corrections in theology. Lots of corrections in spirituality. And it's a dynamite gift of God. These two books, Azaria and Romans, are separate from the poem of the man God and from Maria Valtorta, but this book of Azaria is the only one with a definite error in it, and it says Maronites where it should say Maravites. Maronites are Catholics of an Eastern Rite in Lebanon. They are not schismatic. But in this passage here, it speaks, her guardian angel tells her that all these non-Catholics should come back to the church, and in fact they are dead spiritually if they have an obstinate will to be separated. And it lists Orthodox, Evangelicals, Lutherans, Calvinists, Greeks, Schismatics, Maronites. That's wrong, definitely wrong. But in 24,000 pages that I've read, that's the only error, and it's a typo, it's a typographical mistake. It certainly needs a correction. But I'm guaranteeing to you that's the only error, and it needs a footnote. Father Williamson said, I put my theological reputation on the line. There is no error in Maria Valtorta.
So why are they trying to say that there is that's no good?
They're trying to say it's no good because either they're ignorant, thanks to critiques like this brother... what was his name? This Salesian brother. His critique makes it look very bad. And if you take quotes even out of the scriptures, out of context, it can look very bad. You can make things look, you know, how Protestants twist the scriptures. But the modernists hate it with a particular passion because it's going to undo all their work. When you read the five volumes, you see that our Lord revealed everything traditional Catholics believe directly to the apostles, to the church. Everything. And he established the church, as we know, it's a seed, a small seed that grows into a big tree. So it looks different, Middle Ages, as it was initially, but it's exactly the development that Christ wanted and predicted. And the development of doctrine until, for instance, the 1950 infallible declaration of the Assumption. It's a logical development, but Pope Pius XII revealed that this dogma, this doctrine is now being canonized as a dogma, is in the original deposit of Revelation. Same with Immaculate Conception, defined in 1854. Our Lord describes that to his apostles, praising his mother, in the most beautiful terms. Our Lord even quoting from the text that we use in our Missal for the Feast of Our Lady. So indeed, that oral tradition was handed on so that the early church put those epistles, Proverbs 8 and 24, Ecclesiastes 24, into the Missal. Because our Lord used them to explain to them the praises of his Blessed Mother and her Immaculate Conception. So before, in the Middle Ages when the theology was being thrashed out, St. Thomas agreed with that initially, changed his mind. Then at the end of his life he actually agreed that Our Lady was sinless in a special manner, even from her conception. So, but before 1854 you were not a formal heretic to deny the Immaculate Conception. Before 1950 you were not a heretic to deny the Assumption, but it would have been rash because these are traditional doctrines. But what this work reveals is that our Lord gave the complete Catholic faith to the apostles, and it took time for some of them to be thrashed out, and only elements of it were put into what we call the canonical scriptures. Now, not only Pope Pius XII recommended these works, but the greatest Marian theologian of the 20th century, his name is Father Gabriel Rossini, wrote over 120 books on the Blessed Mother, including thick volumes in Latin, taught at the Gregorian in Rome. Gabriel Rossini, his last work was a book like this one, thicker than this, taking all the extracts on Our Lady and putting a whole theology of Mariology into a seminary course, and wrote his last book, which he says is his best. He says, everything I've ever read or written about Our Lady is like straw compared to what I discovered in Maria Valtorta. Gabriel Rashin is the favourite author of our Superior General, Bishop Fillet, who has the Italian volumes but hasn't read them. He hasn't read them. He bought them because Father Barriel recommended them so earnestly. And there's one other scholar I'll mention, is the only biblical scholar who's been up for canonization. His beatification has been set and announced by the Vatican back in the 80s. His name is Venerable Gabriel Allegra, the only Bible scholar who's a saintly man recognized by the Church, and he put the Bible into Chinese for the first time. Father Allegra, in his latter years, urged everybody to read Maria Valtorta. This is the answer to scripture scholarship. So these men of great scholarship and wisdom and authority in the Church agree with Bishop Williamson and Father Barriel. But the amazing thing is, simple Catholics, simple uneducated Catholics who have great trouble reading any of these good old-fashioned books, any of the Tan or Angelus books, some can only get through a page or two at a time of Agreda or Emmerich, but they devour this because it's so readable.
So I read it, and then after I read them, I was uncomfortable. And then we read, and I am going to see if I can find it, a whole write-up about many problems in that. And I would love, if I can find it, for you to
Let me tell you, I've got a thick file of all those critiques and write-ups, and I've answered them all. I haven't got with me here, but I have answered in documentary form all of these objections. That none of them are substantial. They're all taking things out of context and making it look bad. It is disturbing if you read these critiques, but I can guarantee that, as Bishop Williamson said, it is completely without fault, except for some of these typographical errors. And the English translation is not perfect. It's not traditionalists who translated it, so the cover is the worst thing about it. But sometimes the phraseology is not perfect. It could do with a restructuring of the sentence. It's very minor, the modifications needed.
I didn't like it because it looks like those serials on television.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
it's like a serial on television. It's exactly what Bishop Williamson said is what's needed for today. Because when you get... Why are people addicted to these serials? Because you get to know the personalities.
Mm.
You get to be part of their family and their scene. It's not always very edifying. But when there is nothing, when there is something disedifying in the gospel story, our Lord teaches you how to deal with it. And how he dealt with Judas and how his mother dealt with people like that is phenomenal. So what we have in the gospels are fragmentary, and sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it opens a lot of questions when you read the gospel. And when you read it in context, fleshed out in this, a lot of the questions that the great fathers of the Church couldn't answer are resolved.
That's
so interesting. It's amazing like that. And when it does flesh out an interpretation of scripture that the fathers of the Church have debated, it's completely orthodox. So yes, it's in the form of a serial, in the form of a novel, in the form, I would say, of an actual television script or movie script. And in that sense, it's very modern and it's surprising and it's real off-putting for some traditionalists. In that, me too, initially. I was initially put off because of that style. But I can guarantee if you heard or read anything of Bishop Williamson, you know he's anti-sentimentalism and emotionalism. And people are surprised that he likes this. But I'm telling you why, because it starts off descriptive, sensual, sentimental, and always elevates into the spiritual and supernatural. So one other thing Father Williamson said, as rector of the seminary for 20 years, now still in Argentina, he said, I would not hesitate to ordain whoever enjoys reading these books. Why? Because it's a corrective of, it's a complete seminary course. Apart from canon law and church history, this is a complete seminary course. People who are non-Catholic who read it become Catholic. One man wrote a book, Why I Had to Join the Catholic Church. Dave Webster. He's done tremendous research on it. He's now working on a Douay-Rheims Bible revision with footnotes from Maria Valtorta. And it's phenomenal. it's a scholarly man doing this tremendous work for the church, and when Catholics read it, their faith increases, their knowledge of the scriptures increase, and it provokes vocations as well. I'll be going back to Australia in Christmas for an ordination, one of my old altar boys who joined the seminary because of reading Maria Valtorta. In all my years of the seminary and in all my years as a priest, nothing has helped me more in my ministry than these writings. So this is my testimony. I'm telling you, it's something that you can take it or leave it, you know.